Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
It's called negative art, you know what I'm saying? Where black is white, and white is black, you know what I mean? It's kind of a meta-ma, you know what I'm saying? Hit it, T.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I have a message. Save your generation.
Listening to Save Your Generation, Bonneville Radio Network.
Thanks for coming along on the ride. Thanks for being with us tonight on Save Your Generation. You're listening to the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. We have a, information-packed show tonight. You're going to, by the end of this show tonight, you will have learned something, without a doubt. If you listen to this entire thing tonight and you say you haven't learned something, then you didn't pay attention. Because there is so much information. I don't even know where to begin. But I'm going to keep it real brief and real straight to the point because I was supposed to have a guest tonight, but I don't. So instead, I got a little backup plan, and the backup plan seems to work perfectly for what's happening. Another synchronicity. This is 2 weeks in a row something has been in the same vein happening as what's happening in the real world, as what's happening in the outside world, as what's happening in your world. Hopefully this is something that's going to relate to you, something that's going to put together some of the pieces, because if you think you already have all the pieces, then you've lost the game, because we don't know everything. We're always learning something new. I know I'm learning something new every single day of the week. And if you go to sleep at night and say, man, I didn't learn anything today, then that should be a day that you say that you failed that day. Honestly, that's the way I look at it. If I say that, I don't have a day where I say, I didn't learn anything at all today. Because I'm always learning something. I'm always at least making an attempt to learn something. But that's just me. But where should I begin? Well, let's begin with why I don't have a guest. Well, let's start with my guest last week. Thanks, big up to jtotal411.info. Good show yesterday, really good. Very interesting stuff, you know? I hear stuff on your show that I can honestly say I never heard before in my life. And hopefully, I hope people say the same thing about my show. I think that's what Revere is about. GCN, Republic, Broadcasting, all the other ones that are out there, I think you kind of hear the same thing. You just hear it from different sources. So it kind of just, you know, solidifies the fact that these things are going on and whatever's happening. But I think on Revere, it's that alternative to the alternative where you want the stuff that is not really being said anywhere else, nowhere else. You're not going to hear anybody else say this. You're going to hear this one person on Revere say this, and then that's it. And hopefully from there, you go research it yourself, and then you become another person who's also saying it. And then another person tells a person, and you tell somebody, then, you know, it just exponential from there. And that's what Revere is. Ideas, I know you're paying attention and seeing the significant effect we're having on the world and everything around us. And it's huge, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I know you all out there feel it, and I know you all are seeing it and understanding. But all right, so my guest tonight, again, thanks so much, Jay, for doing it. And I met Courtney Cox, not to laugh, but that Courtney Cox thing is very, very interesting, to say the least. If you haven't heard his show, guys, check it out. It's go to total411.info and check out the archives to his radio show, because it is very interesting stuff. I mean, doppelgangers. If you would have asked me what that word meant, you know, like a month ago, 2 months ago, I would have been like, what? What is that? It's something weird, something interesting that, you know, what's very interesting, even more interesting than me saying interesting a lot right now, is the fact that, so I typed in doppelganger and Courtney Cox, and it turns out that in season 2 of Friends, they did a show about a doppelganger. So that was a weird coincidence. I was like, maybe he's onto something here. That's a weird, you can't say that's not suspicious, if not just a big coincidence. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't seen the evidence or what he puts up, but I don't want to make the show about that, but I just thought it was really interesting, and I think he has a great show because he does talk about things that no one else I've ever heard say, you know? That's what this network should be about, not just regurgitating what you heard on a different network. So now you're bringing it to here like we didn't all hear it on that same network because we all listen to the same thing, so we've already heard it. I mean, you telling it to us is just, I mean, it's cool, but I mean, whatever. What's next? Oh, so the guest for tonight was supposed to be Immortal Technique. I went, met him Sunday. Again, I had met him in New York City at the 9/11 thing. Then he was in Boston on Sunday night, so we went up, met him, hung out. Akir is the nicest, coolest down-to-earth cat I've ever met, one of them. He was real cool. He was, whatever. But turns out, things fell through, and we weren't able to get the interview, so whatever, though. I'm not sweating it, you know. Technique, it was a good show. He did a good, him and Akir, they were both good. Diabolik was real good. Everybody was real good. But the only thing, actually, Technique did some songs off Middle Passage. Can't wait till that drops. I know everybody else is the same. But the one thing that was real disappointing about the whole night was the crowd there. Now, the first time I saw Technique was at the 9/11 Cooper Union thing this past September. But, you know, there it's a whole group of the people you could tell were informed. Everybody there knew what was really going on. They weren't just there because it's the new cool thing. Or maybe they were and they could hide it better. But this place was just full. It was a sold out, number one, which, you know, that's good. That's a good thing. But I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about the state of the movement, about the state of the union here. But it's in a bad state, a real bad. And there is going to be no revolution. You can tell by the way it's going. It's turned into a fad. It is, like I said, 9/11 is an inside job, is nothing more than a catchphrase. The people there, it's, oh, Bush is, yeah, that's about as far as they can understand, and whatever, I guess. The only thing you can do is reach out for those few in the crowd that you can meet. I mean, I did meet some cool people there who were very informed and knew, but it's so far and few in between that you can tell that the majority of the people out there really do know nothing. They just are just looking for the next cool thing, the next big thing, the next let's get a show and say the same stuff over and over type thing. Whole crowd of them. But these people aren't even up that to that yet, but I don't want to sound cynical or jaded, but I mean, I don't even know if I should even go into the, I guess. Should I get into the whole thing? Alright, well, this is what really solidified it for me on the night. I went to the show with 6 females, I believe. That's how we got in. It was sold out. Like I said, we showed up. They're like, no, it's sold out. So I made a phone call to Akir, who graciously, he was such a cool, that's why I said he's real cool. Because it was sold out, but he still got me in. But then I was left with my 6 females outside, so I was, you know, I didn't even know what was going on, but they talked to, what was, I feel like a jerk now, I forgot the dude's name. The governor, was that his name? Yeah, I'm forgetting who he was, but he got the rest of them in. So, you know, the whole crew, everybody was real cool with us. They good people without even, you know, really knowing. We talked last September, which I'm sure they didn't remember, but, you know, they were cool and saying, yeah, you know, just cool. Good people. That's the type of people that we need who are in this. And I'm glad that those are the type of people that are being supported. And I hope you go out and buy Akir's new album, Legacy. And I hope you do go buy The Middle Passage when it comes out. Drop them some money. You know, you go. I would have gladly paid to go to their show. You know, that's what I like most, to go and go to the people and support them in that way. Because that's the way they really make money, is by touring. And while you're there, you pick up a t-shirt. Of course, I got a t-shirt. You pick up some records. You pick up whatever they got, because that's supporting them, and that's how they live. That's how they make their living. But back to my point. So we're inside. The show's going on. And right before Technique is done, Technique is giving a little talk about how... you know, the song he did on Volume 1 about raping the woman, and he goes into a thing about respecting women, and people don't understand that that's, you know, women are the backbone of every society. He was saying that women, and which is interesting, because I did a show about that a few months back, if you don't remember that, but that's, you know, that's a revolutionary idea. Your average person is not going to be able to understand that, but he was saying that, women are the backbone of society, and we must understand and protect our women and always be thankful and respectful, most definitely first and foremost, of our women. Don't exploit them. Don't do the things that we do to our women in the music videos and everything else. And don't believe the bling blinging that you see, and the cars and the houses that you don't really have, and the jewels that you don't have. And he went into his great, brilliant Technique speaking, but the thing about the women was the most important to me, because I was like, wow, no one ever speaks on that. That's cool. Literally, not 5 minutes later, one of the girls that I was with told me that someone grabbed her on her butt. Now, can you believe this? I mean, apparently it was even worse than that, than I'm even going into. Like, it was molested. It was a groping in there. After Technique literally had just said it. So that just goes to show that solidified it for me. That said, these people, no one here is serious about this. This is a fad. These are just some corny people who heard it on their, they were at college and somebody said, hey, did you see this cool YouTube Immortal Technique guy? Yeah, haha, cool dude. Let's go check it out down. He's playing down in Boston. Yeah. I mean, I should have done, if I was Alex Jones, I would have done a good Boston accent for that, but I'm not that intelligent. But that's why I do not think this is going to be a revolution, because I know there are no real revolutionaries out there. There's about a handful. We are living with a bunch of misogynist, racist idiots. That's what this revolution is. And is that going to be a revolution? No, that's just people who are going to be slaves and don't know they are slaves, instead of the people who already know that we're slaves and are fighting to be out of it and actually fighting. But whatever, it just really, that night really solidified it, and I see where this is really going, and that's going nowhere. You're going to the camps. But yeah, so the other issue that I wanted to talk about before I got into all this was the Revere Board happenings. As always, I always seem to find myself in these, message board disputes and fights with people, because I don't want to say opinionated, because it's not my opinion. This isn't, nothing that I say is my opinion. It's all based on things that I read in this book that people refer to as the Bible, but I just refer to as the instruction manual for life. Like, if you have a question about life, you don't, you know what to do about something, you don't know how to look at a situation, you go and you flip through there, and I'm sure, I'm positive, that the answer will lie in there if you understand what you're reading. And for this particular case, what is at dispute here is whether or not knowing the name of the Creator is at all important, and why in churches today no one speaks the name or talks about the name or even acts like the Creator is important at all. The only one that's spoken about is the image of Jesus, or Jesus. I'm just going to refer to him as Jesus from now on, because if what we are saying, what we're saying is that his name is a Greek name, even though he's a Hebrew person. Now that, to me, right there, seems to be odd, because why would a Greek person have, I mean, why would a Hebrew person have a Greek name? And the fact is that he wouldn't. So the name has been translated out of the original language that it was in, the original name, and it was translated into Greek. Now, right off the bat, this rings an alarm with me, because names do not get translated. Names are proper. If your name is Joe, if you go to any country in the world, your name does not change to Jose or anything else. If your name is Will, when you go somewhere, you do not turn into Guillermo. That's not how life works. And it's the opposite, too. If you're Jose, you don't turn into, you know, Joey. Hey, Joey, how's it going? No, your name is proper. And if you don't think that's a fact, I would go somewhere else and see if they decide to just call you whatever they want. Go watch TV in a foreign language. When they speak the American proper name, even corporations, they say, Coca-Cola, Joe Smith. You've never seen this? Proper names don't get translated. That's a fact. So number one, you don't translate the name. So if you're going to say it's Jesus, that's wrong. It's a fact. The name was Yahshua. This is not debated either. Even people will say, okay, fine, his name is Yahshua, but what is the significance of that name? Significance is, we've been, I don't know how many times, but this is not important. We'll just say that you even know that. You even know that it means Yahweh is salvation. Okay, so you know that. Why is that important? Because Yahweh is the one you should be giving the praise to. And you do give praise to him, but you don't even know that you do. Have you ever said Hallelujah? I'm sure you have, but you didn't know who you were praising. You didn't say Hallelujah Jesus. You didn't say praise Jesus. I know some people do, because you go in those Baptist churches and anywhere they're yelling that all day. That's right, praise the Lord, praise Jesus. You might as well have just said praise pagan idol worship. But if you say Hallelujah, you are truly giving praise to the Creator. That's why you say Yah, because it is Yahweh who is the true Savior and Creator. Anyone else is an imposter and is idol worship and is pagan. I mean, you could say that you could make up an image of anyone you want. Make up any name you want and say that you could worship that. But that still wouldn't be worshiping the Creator. And that's what they've done. That's what they did when they created this image. Because they took some truth, intermingled it with the fiction, and now this is what has been literally forced onto people. It wasn't only until a couple hundred years ago that people could read this for themselves and see what it said. Even less if your skin is dark. You only had about the last 100 years to read it, to read in general. You were given that privilege. It's not a right. But okay, and the reason, most importantly, first and foremost, of why this is important is because the scriptures. This is where I want my facts. I gave a little offer. I extended the offer to the people of the message board who would like me to see things their way and why it isn't important. Because I give scriptures, many why it says that his name is important, where it says you praise the name. And it just says things because people don't think, they say that it's some sort of, quote, sacred name. But it, that seems like kind of like blasphemy, because if you read more than once, twice in the Gospels, it says that when giving instructions to pray, now when you're praying, who are you speaking to? You're speaking to the Father. So it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed, if you don't know what that word means, you should look it up. Hallowed means holy or sacred. So the Messiah himself, and who is the Messiah? That's Yahweh in the flesh. So he's saying, he's telling you that when you pray, you acknowledge him and acknowledge that his name is holy, is sacred. He himself says it. So when you say, "Oh, the name's not sacred, the name's nothing," well, he has said more than once that it is. So I'll take his word, because that's the word that I believe. That's why I look into the scriptures, not to what people are going to use rhetoric and doublethink into, you know. Then the next thing is, well, then how do you pronounce it? I don't know. You can pronounce it any way you want, but I know it's four Hebrew letters because I can read and understand that. When you type on the message board, do you read every word and pronounce it in order to understand it? Do you say it out loud? Because I sure don't say it out loud when I type it. I just type, and I can, my brain can understand what's going on the screen, and all of it, it just happens. I don't know. It's like walking and chewing gum at the same time. It just happens for me. I don't have to like say it out loud and say it. I mean, I could say it, and it doesn't matter if I pronounce it tomato or tomato. It's still the same word. You still get the same connotation. But tomato is not apple. That's two completely different things. And Yah is not Jesus. That's completely different. And that leads us to the whole letter J thing, but that's something that's been over. I mean, any historian, any true scholar will not debate this, because they know it's fact. So what they do, they try to use doublethink and backtalk and other things to try to confuse you, but never to the scripture. If you ask them to point to you a scripture where it says, okay, the name is irrelevant, the name, anything, or which points you to something, anything that is scriptural that says that you should just disregard the name and call him anything you want. Because if that lies in there, then please show me, because then, you know, I'll... But what I was going to say was that the other verse that I think is very, very significant comes in the Torah, or what is probably called the law, the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments say that thou shalt not take in your Bible, the one that you read, the one that they have altered now, 7,000 times they altered this. It says the Lord in there. But where it says the Lord, it didn't say that. Now this cannot be debated by anybody who wants to be taken as a serious scholar or a serious biblical student. This can't be debated, because the Lord was never there. It said those four Hebrew letters. Now you can translate that any way you want into any, I mean, you can't really translate, it's transliterate. So what you do, you take the sound and the phonetics from that. So the Yod, He, the Wa, and the He. The Yod became our English Y. He, our English H, Wa, our English W, and hey, I already said the H. So that's why when you type it in English, what I type is YHWH, and that is the we. And it's not like I'm saying that, oh, well, you have to always speak Hebrew now, you gotta speak Hebrew. No, it just so happened. Actually, you know what? Let me play this clip someone sent me, because it is, well, you'll hear it.
I wouldn't want any believer to think, well, I can't use the name of Jesus, I better just start using the name Yahweh. That comes from a particular view of holding to the sacredness of Hebrew language, which is not a biblical doctrinal thing. It may be coming from an occult source.
Mm-hmm. May be coming from an occult source. Alright, well, let's just begin. There's just everything said in that little short clip was incorrect. And just factually, historically, and scripturally. Number one, occult. The definition of occult is something that's done in secret. So by someone, I guess, if we were keeping it a secret, if I kept it a secret that that was his name and didn't tell anybody and worshipped under the name and didn't tell anyone, then that would be a cult, yes. When you're doing something and you don't tell anyone about it, for example, what they do with the Bohemian Grove, what they do with Skull and Bones, that's called a cult because there's the secrecy. There is no secrecy here. Everything's out in the open. In fact, I'm screaming it, trying to get everybody to pay attention to it. So therefore, that would not be a cult, number one. Number two, it says that you're holding some type of sacredness to Hebrew language, quote-unquote. Okay, number one, the language is not what's sacred, it's the name. The name happens, just so happens, to be in that language. Does that mean that the language itself is sacred or just the name? I mean, that's kind of like saying that because the sky is blue and then so is water, then that means that water must be the sky. You get what I'm saying? Like, one doesn't make the other. Just because they both so happen. The name just happens to be Hebrew. It doesn't make the language sacred. It just means that the name is sacred. Therefore, it should be... because, first of all, it goes back to number one. Names don't get translated. And which leads us to the next point, which is that if you... if you're someone who, like this person, is saying, oh, I better not say the name Jesus, I better only use this name, I better only, and just are very nonchalant about the name and saying that it doesn't really matter what you call him, any name is due, you can just call him, Hoopity McDoobly Ronald McDonald, then it'll be fine. Name doesn't matter. But, you gotta go back to the Ten Commandments, and what does it say in the Ten Commandments? It says, thou shalt not take the name of. Now, it's just, it goes back to that, the Lord, and, but, you know, in one hand, it's kind of funny that they should change it so many times, and then you read it in there, and it says the Lord in so many places, and it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, but it's crazy to think about how many times he put that in there. He himself wanted it to be in there, his name, that many times, because he wanted us to know it, and say it, and use it. To think that it wasn't said is preposterous, because that would mean that you never, first of all, you weren't reading the commandments, because his name was in there. He said it multiple times, so I guess you were never to say the commandments to anyone. Or there are numerous times where it says that there are songs about him, and the whole fact of hallelujah, you're saying it right there, the people just say hallelujah, hallelujah, halla halla hallelujah, lu lu. No, they said hallelujah. So yes, they did say his name all the time. And we should. We should let people know who the true creator is. But, back to the taking name in vain. I wanted to go to the dictionary and see just what that meant, because I heard a argument that that's not, you know, saying that the name's not important is not, that's not what that means, in vain. So I went to the dictionary to see what in vain, what taking something in vain means. Just to be sure. So, here we have one, lacking substance or worth, adjective, vain, lacking substance or worth. Now, it says, second part to that, in vain, interesting, that's what we're talking about here, in vain, in irreverent or disrespectful manner. Now, a lot of people might not know what that means, irreverent, what does irreverent mean? Go look that word up. But disrespectful. And it has an example. Took the Lord's name in vain. Even there. Look how funny that is. It has the Lord. Because that's how known it's come to be. No one even knows his name. Because that's how in vain you've taken it. That even in the dictionary it has the Lord. Not his name. Next to in vain. As the showing what in vain. That it couldn't be more perfect and precise. That's beautiful. That is literal. Like, I don't even know what to call it. It's like, I'm at a loss for words here. But, let's see. What else does it say that the definition of in vain is? I mean, you can go look this up yourself. Go look up and see what vain means. So, are you doing exactly what it says here? Having no use. Unused. Unused. That's what it is. You're taking his name in vain. Do not take the name of Yahweh in vain. That's what it says. Not the Lord. And if you take that name, Yahweh, in vain, not using it, seeing it as unsuccessful, useless, unused, having lacking value, go read what in vain means. I don't know how much longer I can go into this, because it's so obvious. It's so right there in the open, how you cannot see that one place it says, hallowed be thy name. It's sacred. It's holy. It's telling you. You don't have to think. I mean, I know we like to think for ourselves and think outside the box and make up our own minds and decide what we want. So if it's your thing you want to say, go ahead. Say that it's not. That's your own thing. But I'm going by, I want scriptural evidence to back things up. So please, hopefully next week or the week after, we will be having a round table where we will discuss this, and we'll hear lots of verses, hopefully, that will maybe give some weight or maybe give some validation to maybe their claims. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe these two verses taking the name in vain, maybe that's not what he meant. Maybe he didn't mean hallowed. Maybe he meant worthless be thy name, and take it in vain all the time. All right, now we're just going off and going in loops. Let's play a song, maybe a couple songs. We're just getting started on Save Your Generation tonight. There's so much more information to come, something I guarantee you've never heard before, because I'd never heard it before either. And it's a shock to me. It's very, it's going to be captivating. I hope I get to play all of it. I'm trying to get through the rest of my diatribes here tonight, and let's just go to a song. It's Wednesday, April 4th. It's the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. Did you know that? And Coretta Scott King, she knows the truth. And I think they got money for that. I should have done a show on that, but to me, I did the show on X, and X is the one who I think really needs the attention, because everybody talks about MLK, but no one talked about X. No one ever does. And he's the one who was the true revolutionary. Always. It's just like me. No one to talk about me. They don't love you when you here. They don't love you when you gone. That sounds about right. Thanks for listening to Save Your Generation tonight. It was just April Fool's Day. And you know what that really is about. That's about, if you thought that the first day of January was New Year, yeah, then you are the April Fool. That's why they have it around this time, because this is when the year really begins. And this is when people who follow the true calendar, not the pagan calendar, not the trick, realize that right now is when the new year, when the new crops, everything. I bet you've seen, I see some stuff sprouting up already. I know if you have a little garden, a little farm, anything you got, you're seeing stuff come up. You might even be one of the year-round guys. You might live in a climate like that, but in a cold weather climate, it's still pretty chilly here up in the good old Northeast, New England. We're the newest England yet. But up here, it's still kind of chilly, but you can still see that the season is changing, because this is the true new year. And the April Fool is the one who believes that January 1st was the... You see, that's... I got to do a whole thing about that, but... As far as Easter goes, South Park tonight is supposedly doing something where they're going to tell the truth about Easter, which doesn't surprise me. Save Your Generation's been doing all the shows at each holiday, exposing its pagan roots, because as we know, they all are, just as the calendar dating system is pagan. So are all of the holidays, which in the feasts and the celebrations and festivals that we all blindly celebrate and follow. But I just think it's very interesting that now South Park would do Easter. And it's funny, you know, I don't think they're really going to expose it for what it truly is. They're going to make light and laugh at it as they always do, and not expose things the way that they could. Or it could just be a big ad like the last one was. I mean, it was a MySpace. It was like the dumbest stuff. I don't know if you want to waste time on my show talking about it. South Park is just, I think it's been really... bought out by the New World Order, because it's really starting to just advertise for all of their bullcrap. And if you pay attention and see through what's being said, you'll see that it's just one big advertisement. And maybe this will be another step in that direction. But let's go to some music now. Enough talk. We're going to get into some real, real heavy, heavy stuff after the break. So I hope you got your thinking caps. Sit down in your thinking chair and think. Because we got some good stuff going on here on Save Your Generation. Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone, on one and only RevereRodeo.net.
Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not, I just did so much damage to my body and my brain. Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not,
I just did so much damage to my body and my brain.
Reverse the brain damage. It's not too late. Listen to Save Your Generation. Only on RevereRodeo.net. Corporate media equals brain damage.
Brain damage ever since the day I was born. Drugs, what they used to say I was on.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you for staying tuned in to Save Your Generation on the RevereRodeo.net. If you like what you hear, or if you don't like what you hear, go to RevereRodeo.net, sign up for the message boards, and give us a piece of your mind. Let us know what's going on. Give me some inspiration to do a show. Give me some fuel to keep searching for truth. Because whenever someone challenges my beliefs, all I do is keep searching and hoping that I get turned on to something that's even more true than what I thought I had known. Because there's always a little bit more. And when I had first heard about, you know, the name being changed 7,000 times and all that, I just had to go look it up for myself and see that it all was true. And hopefully you are doing the same. The song you just heard was done by a friend of mine. It's called If Yahshua Walked Today, and it is a brilliant, brilliant song by a buddy, Josh Q. He know how it do. Brilliant musical musician, artist. Great friend. Thanks, dude. Thanks, dude. But, alright, so I guess before we get into the clips that I wanted to play from this, I might play a lot of it, I don't know, I was going to narrate and try to chime in, but well, here's what I think I'll do. I think I'll just play it as much as I can, as much time as I got left, and then I want all of you out there listening to take down, to actually go to dictionary.com, go to whatever, Wikipedia, go to whatever you use, dictionary, encyclopedias, any type of reference materials. Go to these reference places and look this stuff up. Go get an online Bible, go to BibleOnTheWeb.com, something, and verify all this stuff. Alex Jones says trust but verify, I say just verify. So go verify all the claims that are made, because I was sent this DVD in the mail, and it blew my mind, and I've been reading through the stuff, and you know, it's pretty much dead on. And anytime somebody, like I say, if they have scriptural evidence to back it up, it seems pretty solid. So I want to see what everyone else thinks. And I'm going to hopefully have him on the show, the guy who made this movie, next week. So if you all, you can find things that are discrepancies or something, post them to the Revere message board. Go to revereradio.net, sign up, post what you think and your thoughts and any questions you have, and I will definitely pose them to him. And if you can see, you know, something that can debunk, then please post it, so then I can, you know, kind of call him on it. So, great. Pay close attention. Go to your reference points now. I think I'm going to just start playing. I had wanted to touch on some other topics from, like, something, the Karl Rove thing. People were throwing stuff at him. You know, that, to me, it seems like, you know, like provocateuring or a COINTELPRO. We don't want to start some type of physical, it's not even a physical confrontation with them. It's just stupidity, if you ask me. I mean, throwing rotten eggs or throwing rotten fruit or whatever you're going to do is kind of funny. Yeah, haha, chuckle, it's funny. But the way that their laws are set up now, they will say that you're a terrorist and they will have this entire thing turned off. So anybody, I say to Revere, we should say we should not take part in this, we should not be a part of this, we should stand out from this. And anybody agree with me, I think you should, because I don't think that this is a smart decision, a way to go, because I know that these people, it's going to be repercussions for the entire movement, and I don't think that these are actually people in the grassroots doing this, because I know the grassroots people are smarter. We have nonviolent action. They teach courses on nonviolent action, and if you throw something at someone, that's considered violent. You see those Palestinians slinging rocks, that's their only form of defense. And they have things coming at them that you should be thankful you don't have coming at you. Because one day, since you don't want guns and everything else the liberals don't want, then, you know what? That will be your only weapon, and they'll be shooting something back that's not just a rotten egg. So, let's pay very close attention to what this next, it's called, I'm just going to go right into it. I've been talking so much, and I want to get as much of this in. RevereRadio.net. Please visit our sponsor, Phalon.com. And, put your thinking caps on.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet. RevereRadio.net. Step into our world.
They get a terror storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
The word Jesus came from a Greek word, Jesus. And the Greek word Jesus was a Greek deity. And the word, as a matter of fact, the letter J was never in the original Hebrew language nor the Greek language. J was never there. Even today, the Hebrew alphabet has no J. The Greek alphabet has no J. The J was the last letter that was introduced into the English language late in the 1500s. And the J letter came because a Catholic monk by the name of Galalitos was experimenting with the eye and put the hook on the bottom of the eye and made it a J. And that's how the J letter came into the English language. So his name was never Jesus. His name was and is Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, Yahweh saves. And if we remember, even in the Gospels, when Matthew and Mark talk about the angel visiting Mary, and her real name was not Mary, that's the English word, but her true name is Miriam, and that's the Hebrew word. When the angel appeared to her, he distinctly said, "You will have a son. His name shall be called Yahushua," meaning Yahweh saves, because he continued by saying, "He shall save his people from their sins." So his name tells who he is.
Revelation 2, 9 through 10. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan which say that they are Israel and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, true Israel." This is a historical depiction of the Jews during the Babylonian period, clearly showing the African racial origins that many believe originated out of Egypt and was followers of the Akhenaten religion. John R. Moore wrote that the white supremacists advocated that Jesus was white. The world has been presented with a white Jesus from the Roman Empire when Augustus was the royal leader around 31 BC to AD 14. This Eurocentric Christian world knows nothing about the real Jesus from the tribe of Judah, the Ethiopian who spoke Aramaic. According to Hebrews 7:14, the tribe of Judah, from whom whence Jesus, or Yeshua, his Hebrew name, came, is a dark-skinned nation of people. However, as Europe prospered, it presented the global world with a white Jesus around the time when the Bible was being translated from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English. Revelation 1:14 clearly states, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Jesus' head and hair were white like wool is merely referring to his hair texture. The only people on the face of the earth with hair of a woolly texture are known as those of the Negroid race, whose hair is in its natural state is like a wool of a lamb. If black people do not cut or comb their hair, it will eventually lock together and become woolly.
The word Jewish, the word Jew, was never and never is in the old original scriptures. As a matter of fact, the again, if there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet, how could you get the word Jew, or Joseph, or Jeremiah, or Jehovah? It's impossible. It's highly impossible, you see. But here is how this the word Jew or Jewish came into being. If we go back, and you see, everything that we say today is scripture-based. Everything is in scripture. It's sad that many of us have not gone into the research to really get the stuff. But it is recorded in scripture. And it says, if we go back to the book of Genesis, let me see if I could... In the book of Genesis, chapter 10, okay, verse 21, it speaks about the genealogy. Okay, there was Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet. Now, they said Japheth, but it's Yefet. Okay? Shem had children, and out of his children, one of his sons was named Eber. And the word Eber means Hebrew. Okay? Now, and we're talking about the 10th chapter. Now, here in the first verse of the 11th chapter, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So what was it? Who were they? Hebrews. They were speaking Hebrew, the Hebrew language, because the offspring of Shem was a Hebrew. And if the earth was one language, one speech, then hallelujah, it has to be Hebrew.
My friends, we have been lied to and tricked into believing that our former slave masters and their children have told us about who we are. We should not be surprised that our true history is hidden, since our former colonial slave masters raised our ancestors like wild beasts and cattle, since they considered the so-called Negro three-fifths of a human being.
Those folks that are living in Israel right now, they are not Hebrew Israelites. They are Israelis. They live in the land of Israel. But how did they get there? In the book of Revelation, we are told that in one of the letters that Yahweh dictated to John on the Isle of Patmos, to one of the churches, he says, I know you dwell among in the synagogue of Satan, and there are those who say they are Jews, but they are not. The Jewish nation was never in existence till 1948. That's when the Jewish nation became a nation. It's all documented in the Encyclopedia Britannica. I read it there myself several times. It's there in the book. Okay? But here is the thing. When Yahweh took up our forefathers out of the land and scattered us all over the world, that land was rich and fertile. Everything remained there intact. The Hebrew scriptures, the scrolls, the sacred scrolls, and everything was there intact. At the time, it was not the United Nations, it was the League of Nations. They gathered up people from all over, Germany, Russia, Europe, and brought them into the land. And they settled in the land, rich and fertile. What happened is, when they got there, all the sacred scrolls, everything was intact. And so they set out to master the language of the Hebrews. And they learned it well, so well, that when they begin to unfold scriptures from the scrolls to put it in book form, when they came to Yahweh's name, they said, the Jews said, the Jewish scholars said, the name Yahweh was too holy for sinful man to utter. So they removed it and replaced it with Lord God Adonai. And because of this, that's all we were taught. That's all we knew. I've been in the ministry 55 years. And it's only 9 years ago I came into the knowledge of Yahweh and his son Yahushua. And you know, there's a question that Solomon, the rich man, the rich king, asked. He said, what is his name and his son's name? If you know, could you tell? What is his name? Hallelujah. His name is not Jesus. His name is not God. He's Yahweh, the Almighty Creator, the one who made us. And he's saying to us, as his children, he said, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, because your forefathers did wickedly. But I'm giving you a chance to turn, and I'm going to bring you back into the land that I promised to them. Come on.
turn from your wicked way. Say, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, I'll heal the land.
Our fathers have sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Lamentation 5:7. The so-called Negro became public enemy number one in the eyes of every hate group, which included such terrorist organizations like the Ku Klux Klan, the Skinheads, the Neo-Nazis, and other hate groups. In fact, the lynching of black Americans dramatically increased after the establishment of the Ku Klux Klan in 1867, which was and still is an underground terrorist group opposed to the civil rights movement that led to the freedom of the slaves. The KKK came into existence to help maintain white supremacy, which seemed under threat following their defeat in the Civil War. The Klan referred to Jews as the offspring of Satan, blacks and other racial minorities as an inferior group, and white Anglo-Saxons as the true Israelites.
Racism still exists. In fact, 2 weeks ago we had an incident where, as they called them, half black, half white children could not go into a public pool, a private pool, because they were half black and half white. And because they were a private pool, the owners had the right not to allow the half black, half white children, because they said, we don't allow blacks. Well, we can't allow the half-white part of them because there's the half-black part. So we just couldn't allow the children at all to come into the pool. So racism is still alive and well. The Klan no longer wears the white hood and no longer wears the white cloak, but they wear business suits. They sit in our political offices. They sit in our churches.
Please note, the nation that refers to themselves as Israel sits as an economic and nuclear world power. The reality is, this nation that refers to themselves as Israel is the polar opposite from the biblical Israel. For according to Leviticus 26:37, the scriptures proclaim that Israel shall fall upon one another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Therefore, the Jews that we refer to today as the nation of Israel could not be the historical biblical Hebrews, since they were able to stand up and defeat their enemies, especially throughout every military engagement encountered since 1948. They have also been successful in keeping possession of Israeli land for more than 50 years, tracking down and executing Nazi war criminals that reportedly had a role in their Holocaust and are now destroying the nation of Lebanon. Leviticus 26:38, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Leviticus 40, if they shall confess their iniquity sins and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that they also, that they have walked contrary unto me. Leviticus 26:40-42 clearly states that God never cast away Israel, but also indicate that a physical Israel must be on earth so that the covenant made to their ancestors can be fulfilled. This may be one of the reasons that black people have survived centuries of chattel slavery, lynching, and the worst treatment ever hurled at any race. This person was hung and burnt. God made a promise that Israel would undergo suffering in the land of their enemies, but he would not destroy them utterly. Leviticus 26:44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Leviticus 26:45, but I will for their sakes remember the covenant in their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, I am the Lord. Take note of the fact that the Bible keeps citing the land of Israel's enemies as the place where Israel will reside. What other people on the face of the earth can this possibly fit but the so-called Negro? Leviticus 26:41, and that I also walk contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept of the punishment of their sins, then will I remember my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Romans 10:1-3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Fiddler, Chicken George, Nigga, Coon, Steppin' Fidget, Negro, Monkey. These are proverbs and byword labels of general rebuke that includes a characterization in the form of taunting insults and offensive names, all of which act as substitutes that conceal Israel's true identity. Deuteronomy 28:37, "And thou shalt become astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee." Deuteronomy 28:15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." God said Israel would become an object of scorn and disdain among all nations wherever they go. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had an emergency Mideast meeting in Israel to try and supposedly hammer out a ceasefire agreement with the nation that calls themselves Israel and the Lebanese government. During the U.S. Secretary of State's visit, she was ridiculed and characterized as a monkey who was giving birth to a monkey. Historians frequently reported the characterization of the black slaves as a subhuman species with an insatiable sexual appetite who lacked intelligence, character, and feelings. Also, the U.S. Supreme Court and the Constitution of the United States decreed and placed into law that the so-called Negro was 3/5 human, leaving 2/5 for something else. It could not have been beast, for the white man treated his horse, cat, and dog far better than the so-called Negro. My friends, as we stand here today, many Hebrews have been fooled and tricked by our tormentor in thinking that they have a part of this American experience called a dream. Our enemies show token kindness to us if we bring them comfort, entertainment, or financial gain. We confuse this with acceptance and friendship. However, what happens when you can no longer sing, dance, play, or run? What happens to you when your entertainment and market value is no longer wanted or needed? What happens to you when the massa has no more need for you to sing, dance, play, or run? Many so-called Negroes refuse to believe that the masses' children would ever repeat the sins of their ancestors. We believe this because we are not in our right mind. We are a spiritually drunk people, desperate to be loved by those whom the scriptures say hate us. Sing, dance, play, and run the so-called Negro for entertainment purposes only. One of the worst episodes in the slave's life was during the dreaded Middle Passage journey from West Africa to the Americas, where the conditions on the slave ships were horrifying, with between 200 and 400 captives crammed into the bottom of the ships. Zechariah 11:5, "Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not." White Americans coined the phrase Negro barbecues. They were carried out when white mobs set out to burn black Americans alive or burn their dead bodies after a lynching. This helped to strengthen the conviction that blacks were less than human or on the same level as the wild beast of the field. Newspapers even carried headlines like, "Colored Man Roasted Alive," while explaining in graphic detail the slow, systematic, agonizing death of the helpless victim. Crowds, including women and children, traveled for miles to witness this blood sport, with school administrators delaying classes to allow both male and female students to return from viewing these evil, horrendous acts of brutality. This is an image of Will Brown, accused and arrested for allegedly raping a white woman before being seized by a white mob that beat him unconscious, then filled him with over 1,000 bullets prior to burning his body in 1919. Deuteronomy 28:17, "And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursue you." Many of the so-called Negroes in this land have chosen to forget the great suffering of their Hebrew ancestors and have chosen to embrace and indulge themselves in the spoils of what slavery, lynching, racism, murder, and rape has profited this nation called America. The world is having a party on the blood of a forgotten people, and the children of the forgotten people will share in the plagues of the children of the oppressors if they remain in fellowship with this world. From 1880 to 1930, more than 3,500 blacks were lynched or executed, but no one has ever been convicted of any of these horrendous crimes. Nevertheless, this nation called America, that Dr. King knew was on fire and under God's ultimate judgment, told us that we must be firemen and put out the fire in the masses' house. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8-12, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause Yah shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In a book entitled Two Nations, Black and White, Separate, Hostile, Unequal, by Professor Andrew Hacker, he writes, most whites will protest that they bear neither responsibility nor blame for the conditions blacks face. Neither they nor their forebearers ever owned slaves, nor can they see themselves as having held anyone back or down. Today, the younger generations of whites resent being held morally or financially responsible for the racial sins of their ancestors, even though as whites, they still enjoy the inherited advantages and privileges of slavery. The lynching of black people was a brutal combination of racism and sadism used by whites to terrorize blacks in order to safeguard white supremacy. The accepted method used for lynching was hanging, shooting, or both. But sometimes more gruesome methods of physical torture were employed, like burning at the stake, maiming, dismemberment, and castration. They held themselves not guilty. Deuteronomy 28:63. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Mr. Habersham, who was a legislative trustee in Georgia in 1749, advocated for the introduction of slavery into Georgia. Quote, many of the poor slaves in America, he wrote, have already been made freemen of the heavenly Jerusalem. Their friends in Germany assured the slave masters of the so-called Negro that it was harmless to own slaves. If you take slaves in faith and with the intent of conducting them to Christ, the action will not be a sin, but may prove a benediction. So it was that avarice subdued conscience. Already slaves had been introduced into Georgia from South Carolina as hired servants under indentures for life or for 99 years. And at Savannah, the continual toast was the one thing needful, which meant Negro slaves. Slavery was introduced on the condition that all masters should be obliged to compel the Negroes to attend at some time of the Lord's Day for instruction in the Christian religion. In 1752, the charter was surrendered to the crown. The colony had all the privileges accorded to others and flourished. Keep in mind that the King and the Queen of England are Catholic and held that the Lord's Day was Sunday and that those who owned slaves would instruct them on this day. However, Yah commanded that his people worship on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Once again, we find ourselves agreeing and worshiping on the day that our tormentor and former colonial slave masters commanded us to worship. My friends, obedience to Yah's word is better than any sacrifice you may present to him. The question must be asked, who in their right mind would assist a murderer, kidnapper, child molester, and rapist? Only but the delusional so-called Negro. The very history of America identifies itself as the spawn of Satan, the adversary of the Almighty, the Antichrist, the Beast, and the Great Whore, spoken about in the book of Revelation. We as a people have certainly fulfilled Dr. King's fears, for we have certainly been integrated into a burning house, and the children of the Almighty are called to lead the evacuation. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. These verses indicate that Israel will not be able to avoid these curses that will plague them wherever they settle. Ron R. Moore points out that during chattel slavery, which means movable personal property, the living conditions in the fields were more suited for animals, but slaves had to live under these extremely dehumanizing conditions, which robbed them of their humanity, labor, security, and their lives. More than a third of the black population in cities like Boston, New York, and Philadelphia lived in blind alleys, cellars, and lofts. The poor, unsanitary living conditions caused widespread health problems and shortened their lifespans. Deuteronomy 28:19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Every attempt by black people in the Caribbean, the Americas, the United Kingdom, to improve their living conditions through the political, educational, and economic systems has been a failure. But at the same time, other ethnic racial groups have been successful in leading their people to an acceptable standard of living using those same systems. It is interesting to note that black Americans have been in the United States longer than most of the other ethnic groups, except the Native American Indian, but have still fallen behind every group in virtually every level of society. Leviticus 26:33, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Deuteronomy 28:25, the Lord shall curse thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. God declares that Israel would be forcibly removed from their ancestral homeland and scattered throughout the four corners of the earth as captives to these new lands, where they will dwell in the midst of people from all ethnicities, but not as a sovereign nation. This is another characteristic of the Israelites. This pronouncement could not refer to them who call themselves Israelis, since they have been able to defeat their enemies in every military battle since 1948, winning the 1948-49 and 1956 wars, the 1967 preemptive Six-Day War against the combined military forces of Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, and Syria, in addition to the 1973 Yom Kippur War. They successfully invaded Lebanon, seizing Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, Sinai, and more from their enemies. This certainly does not depict the modern Jews as being destroyed by their enemies. The latter section of verse 25 declares that Israel shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. To be removed means to be moved by force, and this is exactly what Israel's enemies did to the blacks of the Western Hemisphere. They were forcibly removed, stolen, and kidnapped from the west coast of Africa and transported to Europe, the Americas, and the Caribbean islands. Leviticus 26:33, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Deuteronomy 28:25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. My friends, we as a people did not emigrate to all kingdoms of the earth voluntarily, as other immigrants have done. We were taken, removed into all kingdoms of the earth. Other ethnic groups, including those who say they are Jews, have migrated to the Western Hemisphere between the 17th and 20th centuries of their own free will, and were not forcibly abducted, chained together, and scattered like wild animals. Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. A study found that black populations have an admission rate to mental institutions 7 times higher than their white counterparts, or about 28 per every 100,000 as compared to 4 per every 100,000 for white people. It is also a form of madness for black people to imitate their oppressors, yet they strongly desire not only to dress like them but to look like them in order to be accepted in the dominant society, but it still does not work out that way. Black people remain in a deep state of spiritual blindness, not conscious of the path that points to their origin and creator, so they embrace the religion, doctrines, and culture of the slave master, totally forgetting that it was under the authority of this religion that they were enslaved. They are therefore astonished at this state of madness and blindness and continue to ponder why they are the most hated race on earth and the target of such extreme racism. The Stockholm Syndrome comes into play when a captive cannot escape and is isolated and threatened with death, but is shown token acts of kindness by the captor. It typically takes about 3 or 4 days for the psychological shift to take hold. A strategy of trying to keep your captive happy in order to stay alive becomes an obsessive identification with the likes and dislikes of the captor, which has a result of warping your own psyche into such a way that you come to sympathize with your tormentor. Deuteronomy 28:29, "And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee." This verse stresses that Israel will be searching around in a blind stupor looking for a solution that would help them escape their predicament. Henry Berry, a United States senator, once told the Virginia House of Delegates in 1832, "We have as far as possible closed every avenue by which the light may enter the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on the level with the beast of the field." Deuteronomy 28:32, "Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand." Even after planting the vineyards and other crops, they were not permitted to enjoy any of the fruit. So the black Hebrew Israelites to this day and their children have never been compensated for providing all that free labor for over 400 years, which made America the world power as it is today. The Middle Passage also saw the transportation of the slaves to the West Indies, where they were exchanged for spices, rum, molasses, and sugar. The families of black Hebrew Israelites were destroyed during the long dreaded period of the transatlantic slave trade. Joel 3:3-6, "And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border." Remember what Thomas Jefferson wrote to King George, that these people whom we have enslaved have done no wrong to us and have come from a far place from another hemisphere? The Almighty Yah is beginning to wake us up out of our slumber. Deuteronomy 28:32, "Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand." Even in modern times, the children of black Hebrew Israelites continue to be taken away from their parents and placed in foster care and child welfare services. Deuteronomy 28:34, "So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see." For 4 centuries, the historical experience of black people have been molded by the turbulent periods of slavery, dehumanization, segregation, discrimination, racism, and even the pursuit of civil rights. Deuteronomy 28:36, "The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone." Deuteronomy 28:41, "Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever." Please keep in mind that the Bible explains that the ancient Israelites were held captive in Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, but later their forefathers were abducted and brought as slaves to this part of the globe. This was not the manner in which those who called themselves Jews and other ethnic racial groups came to the Western Hemisphere, since they came here on their own free will. The scriptures proclaim that these curses will be so severe that it will be a wonder and a sign of who we are, the true children of Israel, and that these curses will be passed on to every generation forever. However, thanks be to Yah, we know that Yah will call Israel back unto himself and use a remnant, which is a few, to teach and awaken his children. Hallelujah.
Brown Jack Frost in Montana, Brown Montana, hot Montana. I guess it ought to be that way. When we rally round Jack Frost in Montana, round Montana, at Montana. So try to do what the Father said. And oh, when I and I reach Montana, we won't be saved, we won't be saved. And oh, oh, when I and I reach Mount Zion, I will be glad. Yeah, we'll be glad when we rally around. When we rally
You are listening to Save Your Generation on ReverRadio.net.
You ain't the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. This scripture points out that the strangers or other ethnic groups that settle side by side with the children of Israel will climb the social and economic ladder higher than the Hebrews as a group, while the Hebrews will slip down to a lowly state. Historically, the United States has kept in place a hierarchical class structure that puts European whites, Asians, Hispanics, and Indians above blacks with an even greater social acceptability. However, the American government and the dominant white society have never systematically targeted these groups for destruction. The ancestors of black Israelites were in America before the ancestors of today's Jews, Italians, Germans, French, Japanese, Chinese, and Hispanics. Yet all these ethnic groups were relegated to a much higher social status than blacks, who have been kept at the lowest position in America.
The disorientation that takes place with that so-called Negro versus the one who was basically raised in his own nation, who knows his language, who knows his religion, know where he stands, knows about his history, his traditions, so on and so forth. That is automatically a stronger person. And that is why a lot of times you see people coming to this country and you see them starting their businesses, they're starting to move a lot faster, and then we start to say, well, why is it we've been here all this time? They started their business and so on and so forth because these people didn't come over here disorientated. They had not been told that they're niggas. They haven't been told that they're no good. They haven't been told that they're nobody. Their history hadn't been robbed. They already know who they are, so they can come over here with nothing and start because they know who they are. And so that's the type of mentality that we have that's going on in the Middle
East.
That's
the Calvin.
The so-called Middle East. The so-called Middle East.
So-called.
That you are dealing with people. And this is why they are totally underestimated, because this white supremacist and arrogance, this mentality, totally underestimate this group of people every time, because they are not the submissive, confused, disorientated people that they seem to think the Negro would be like the Negro. So when they go over there, I believe these people will fight to their last bullet. I believe they will fight to their last bomb. I believe they will fight. I'm talking about the so-called rented Negro over here, and that's making people mad. They're going to kill this so-called Uncle Tom Iraqis. Because, see, that's how strong they are about what they believe in. They're not going to allow someone to side with the oppressor that will create all of this havoc and rob their children for generation after generation the way we have.
Deuteronomy 28:44, he, the stranger, shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Statistics show that the so-called Negro is content to waste a hefty percentage of their yearly disposable income on businesses in the white communities, with a smaller proportion going towards black businesses. They take their money to the stranger, which creates jobs for their people, while the black Hebrew remains at the bottom of the economic ladder. Obadiah Yisrael points out that only in black Hebrew communities will you see other immigrant groups owning nearly all the businesses. For example, observe the people who call themselves Jews. They own a large percentage of currency exchange stores, banks, and lending agencies. The Arabs own the grocery stores and fast food restaurants. The Asians own the clothing stores and beauty salons. The East Indians own the convenience stores and gas stations. And the whites own everything else. The black Hebrew Israelite owns little to nothing in their community. Since virtually all black economic power goes into the hands of the stranger, it elevates the stranger to a much higher social and economic bracket, which in turn gives him the resources to lend to blacks, who in turn are unable to lend to the stranger. Blacks generally have to go outside their community to the stranger to obtain loans for cars, mortgages, business, and even for social events. Deuteronomy 28:45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and thou shalt pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenedest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee. Isaiah 3:12 states, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err, and destroy the way of your paths. This scripture states that women will rule over the true Israeli Hebrew. The Hebrew female has been placed above the Hebrew male for as long as we have been here in America. The Hebrew female income has surpassed Hebrew males. It has been this way since 1954. Slavery intentionally placed the female in a dominant role over the male. Hebrew males who were forced into a status below the Hebrew female and totally powerless to protect her against the slave master. In 1712, a white slave owner by the name of William Lynch from the West Indies wrote a letter to slave owners in the U.S. In his letter, he outlined a plan he had devised for keeping the slaves docile and ignorant. He said that the slave owners must put the female slave over the male slaves and make the male slave fearful and dependent on the slave master. This has been the historical role for us in this country for hundreds of years. Women continue to rule over us. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee. The last section of the verse states that the oppressors will place yokes of iron around the necks of the black Hebrew. And since the word yoke also means agency of oppression, servitude, subjection, and slavery, it suggests that the black Hebrew population has an iron yoke around its neck even today, as their oppressors still continue to keep them in subjection after 400 years of mental programming. These verses indicate that no matter where Israel goes, these curses will be a burden on them because Israel chose not to obey the commands of Yah. Again, if those who say they are Jews today are the descendants of Israel, they should be under the curses outlined in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Irregardless of which country they reside in, the condition should mimic the present plight of the true Hebrews of the Western Hemisphere, but they do not. These curses or signs are the clearest guides to distinguishing who the children of Israel are, since God stresses that these curses would be a sign and a wonder on Israel forever. So whichever racial group suffers from all these curses can proclaim to be the true descendants of the seed of Israel. These curses are only seen on black Hebrew Israelites. Isaiah 3:12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. My people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths."
God is speaking to his specific people and the people that are in the land now. Children are their oppressors. Our children that used to be obedient, which the scripture is calling our children still to be, children obey your parents, that now the children are acting in the role of parents. And children are oppressing their parents. Not only are they oppressing their parents, they're oppressing our society in the sense that the crime rate is elevated, in the sense that children have no discipline, they have no morals. They're using our young men to be gangbangers. Our young women are soliciting themselves. And the children are now, not only are they oppressed, but they are oppressors. Okay? And it says, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. In the order of God, men were ordained to be the head of the household and to be the leaders in our community. And it is not so because, first of all, for the black man, he's such a threat in this community that he has been so oppressed that the society has so made it that the women are ruling over the men. It's been hard for our black men to be the leaders that they are called to be because of the economic system that we live in. But if we return and get the spiritual teaching that the churches, some churches are failing to give, and putting the man in his proper role as the leader and the head of his household, it means sacrifice. This way of holiness means sacrifice. It means that we're going to have to let go of the things of the world. So what, you can't live in that $1 million house if your man is the head of the household? As long as your family is intact, it's a matter of choosing your priorities and deciding who you're going to serve. You can't serve mammon. Money. You can't serve this society and serve God or serve Yahweh in the beauty that he originally created, which is what he's calling us back to. We're living in a church age where in the book of Revelations, he talks about we're living in the time where the church is being judged. Our leaders are being judged because they have erred. They have not told us all the truth. They've told us a portion of the truth that was comfortable, but they have not given us the full truth because it would cause our identity to change. It would cause us to go through crisis that we don't always want to suffer. We don't always want to change. We don't always want to take down. We don't always want to be outcast and rejected in this community. We want to have what others have. We want to look like what others look like. But it's not who we are. And in order to come into our full identity, we have to return to the Word of God as it was originally intended.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12, it also mentions that the so-called Negro leaders are destroying the way of our path. This is absolutely the case today and has always been the case. The so-called Negro leadership is not leading us to truth and righteousness, but leading us to certain destruction. I do not know if it is done purposely or out of ignorance, but we as a people are going in the wrong direction.
O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Our leaders have gotten into a state of thinking that the leadership role is one of glamour. In order to be the leader, you have to be responsible. You're going to have to sometimes go against the grain in order to get the full truth of where we need to come. Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King, all of our male leaders, okay, have always been under some oppression, but our leaders have the responsibility to tell us the full truth, the unadulterated truth, so that then we know which way we're supposed to go. If our leaders are erring and not telling us the truth, then it's causing us to have schisms at home and schisms in our body and schisms in our society. So we now have to get responsible leaders, okay? Not leaders who want the glamour, not leaders who want the status, not leaders who want the position, not leaders who will sell out politically, not leaders who will call themselves leaders, but leaders who are truly born leaders who have the responsibility to sacrifice and to tell the truth, to die if need be, but I tell you the truth, to uphold a standard that God is calling for.
Business leaders and community-based organizations tell us to shop with more black-owned and run businesses, and this will help solve our problem. Political and civic leaders keep telling us to rock the vote, keep hope alive. Others proclaim impotently, no justice, no peace, while others beg for the crumbs of the oppressor's table and weakly ask for a covenant with America. Still, there are other leaders who have large followings that will have the charisma to draw millions of people to hear what they have to say, but yet will not proclaim to the lost true children of Israel the truth of their ancestry, for possibly they believe it may ruin the large following of the people they have. My brothers and sisters, we are Hebrews, the long-lost children of Israel. Matthew 15:24. But Yehoshua answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How low can they go? Deuteronomy 28:49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Deuteronomy 28:50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young.
And the nations that we have been scattered into are fierce. Not only are they fierce, but they have taken everything away from us. They have stripped us of our identity. We no longer know who we are. We no longer know where we belong. Now we have other nations that come into this country. And each one of them could trace their identity. And each one could go back to where their roots are. Where do we come in? Where is our roots? Our identity was stripped away from us.
Deuteronomy 28:65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity. Remember, we are Yah's children. We are His people. Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Slavery, bondage, and captivity played a huge part in the children of Israel's history, as they would be held as captives and shackled by the chains of slavery on many occasions. The Bible speaks of Israel's captivity and bondage in Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. But to be able to identify the modern descendants of Israel would mean having to trace a people who were taken captive and brought by ships into bondage. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yah, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
The word Egypt, as we know it today, is the name of that continent. But it was never named Egypt in the Old Testament scripture. Originally, that name of that continent or that country was Mithraim. Egypt, if you look in a very good dictionary, you will see the word Egypt means a condition of slavery. And because slavery was the key element in that country, when they formed the New World and they gave the New World names to these countries, they named it Egypt, associating it with the condition. So, keep that in mind, that Egypt is a condition of slavery. Remember, the children of Israel was in slavery in Egypt. Okay? In Mithraim. The 68th verse, the last verse in that chapter says, this is because we disobey. And Yahweh will bring you back to Egypt, which means condition of slavery, by ships. On a journey I said you should never make again. You remember when Moses stood at the Red Sea and he stretched his rod and he said to the children of Israel, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. That's the covenant that Yahweh made, that they shall not turn back. But because they disobey, he's going to bring them back. He brought us back. Ladies and gentlemen, there you will offer yourselves for sale as male and female slaves to your enemies, but no one will buy you. It's all in scripture. Our people, the true Hebrew Israelites, are black people, because the scripture says we will be brought into slavery by ships. And all over the world, there is no one, no people, no nation on the face of this earth was ever taken into slavery by ships but Hebrew Israelites, African people.
Deuteronomy 28:68, and Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. According to verse 68, Israel would go into a repressive, brutal bondage similar to what was experienced when held captive in Egypt. Only this time ships will be the major transportation method used to move the Israelites to their new dwelling places.
And Jesus said in his parables of the signs of the end that there will be wars and rumors of war. Now, not only is this a war, this is a rumor of a war, you see. And then what will follow the rumors of war would be famine and pestilence and earthquake and diverse places. But this would just be the beginning of sorrows. And so to take it and graduate it up above the mind of the neoconservatives that control America, the Federal Reserve Bank and the other powers that be that we all know about, we, I believe, are at the end of sin, tyranny, and oppression that will come at the end of this world and the end of the powers that be, that we have entered into the beginning of the end of the fall of wickedness and oppression and tyranny, and they won't go down without a fight. They will go down as the scriptures say that they will go down, and that's in war.
No, I can follow up with this, Minister Muhammad. Now, if you're quoting that, and that's what you're stating, then basically you are stating that America is that great beast spoke about in Revelation 17, 18, and 19, yes, and that George Bush, and not only George, but that the power structure of America is hovering over, is the tool of the devil. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the Bible, in those chapters of Revelation that you mentioned, talk about a mystery
Babylon. Mystery means there's something yet to be revealed. And so it says, Babylon, the great, is fallen. She has become the habitation of devils and a hole for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. And that she would fall and that she would be like a king that commits fornication. And the fornication with the kings of the earth means trade and commerce. So much torment and sorrow give her. That scripture is a clear description of the position that America sits in, because Mr. Babylon really means, according to the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, baby London. That America got its start from Europe. Mm-hmm. So this is baby London or Babylon, but it is time now that the mystery be revealed. And so, yes, I'm saying that America fulfills the prophecy of the mystery of Babylon. And not only does America fulfill that prophecy, we as black people fulfill the prophecies of the people of God in the last days as well.
Revelation 18, 1 through 5. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities.
We put a lot of pressure on the black church. And we rake them over the coals. But I want to defend the black church, but at the same time chide them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, because that's where all of us came from. That's where
right.
I came from. I was born holiness. You know, whatever. But history is best qualified and most rewarding in this research, because we have to face the harsh truth that the church was not set up by Jesus Christ. It was set up. I'm talking about the black church now. Right. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholicism and the whole history. I'm saying that the church was not set up to be an instrument of liberation for the people. It was set up by our former colonial slave masters to make us suffer peacefully while we was building the world for them. That is the origin of the church. We must face the fact. I'm not talking about the origin of your faith. Your faith is personal between a man and his God and a man and his Lord. But I'm saying the establishment of the church, it was set up to make the slave suffer peacefully while he was serving his master. Look at the teacher. When somebody smites you, turn the other cheek. When they take your coat, give them your hat. If they, you know, that kind of teaching, is it makes a slave out of you. You see, don't touch master's chicken and master's corn. And for God's sake, don't touch master's woman. They wasn't liberating us. If a man is not going to treat you right, he's not going to teach you right. And when they let the first slaves in the church in the late 1700s, you couldn't even sit on the floor with the true followers of Christ. You got to go up in the balcony, and then they ran you out the balcony to an old shack in the back of the woods somewhere. And we were down there raising so much ruckus and so much noise that the slave master sent somebody in there to make sure that we was teaching what the black preacher who couldn't read wanted us to know.
Psalm 83:4. They have said, Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the nation of Israel may be no more in remembrance. America, you are guilty of being the most demonic, evil nation that the world has ever seen. However, no man is able to judge you or punish you for your many sadistic deeds, for you rule the world and have no peer, for no nation can stand against you. However, according to the scriptures, your sins have reached heaven, and the stench of your whoredom Yah has smelled. Therefore, your judgment will be swift, and your destruction decisive, for Yah's judgment is righteous. Revelation 17, 1 through 5. And there came one of the seven angels which have the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Verse 18 states who this woman is, and the woman which thou savest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Deuteronomy 28:64, And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Deuteronomy 28:58, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 28:59, Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Deuteronomy 28:60-61, Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. The scriptures proclaim that Israel will be a disease-stricken people suffering from all types of illnesses according to these prophecies. The original black Israelites have been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, so there is hardly a nation on the globe where Israelites do not make up some percentage of the society. This happened because the Hebrews broke the laws of God and cannot therefore exist as a unified sovereign nation in the land of Israel at the present time. Wherever black Hebrews have settled, they will serve strange gods. However, the forefathers of ancient Israel were unfamiliar with these gods and religions such as Islam, Buddhism, Krishna, Christianity, New Ageism, and so forth, since most of these came into existence after the expulsion of Israel from their ancestral homeland. Again, this situation could not possibly pertain to those who call themselves Jews, since the majority of them are atheists and do not believe in God. The Harris Poll, number 59, from October 15, 2003. Protestants, 90%, are more likely than Roman Catholics, 79%, and much more likely than Jews, 48%, to believe in God. Religious affiliation here includes many people raised as members of a religion or religious group, regardless of what they practice or believe now. Protestants, 47%, are also more likely than Catholics, 35%, to attend church once a month or more often. Only 16% of Jews go to synagogues once a month or more often. Leviticus 26:40-42. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Jeremiah 2:14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? In Isaiah 42:22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, Restore. And then in Zechariah 11:5, whose possessions slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. Ron R. Moore states that slave ships made several crossings from the west coast of Africa to the Americas and Europe over hundreds of years, capturing, buying, and selling slaves. This was one of the biblical curses of Deuteronomy 28 that was placed on the Israelites. Jeremiah 17:4, And thou, Israel, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
You will never repeat in Muslim countries and any other nationality of people what happened with the black experience in America. Because these people were not totally robbed of their name, their language, their culture, their religion, and their God. They still have their original religion. They have their original land. They have their original language. They have their original religion. And whenever a man is close to his original state like that, whenever they are oppressed, you will see them rise up to fight the oppressor quicker than you will see those of us who came up in America. It's like a circus lion and a jungle lion. When you deal with a lion that's in his original habitat, you can't take him and make him jump up on the stool, make him roll over, make him roar, and then open his mouth and put your head inside of his mouth. You can't do that to a real lion, but you can do that to a lion that was raised in captivity. And when you look at the black man in America, you're looking at a lion that has been raised up in captivity. We look like a lion, we sound like a lion, but we are not a lion because our mind has been reorientated to be pussycats instead of lions.
Isaiah 42:22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Black Hebrews have been robbed and stripped of their history, languages, dignity, culture, and heritage since coming to the Western Hemisphere. In fact, black Hebrews constitute the only race that was prohibited by law from practicing their original language, culture, history, and faith, in addition to having been forced to abandon their original names, all of which connected them directly to their ancestry. Of all races on earth, the black Hebrews have suffered serious psychological damage from the centuries of ruthless treatment and vicious lies. They deserve reparations for the many centuries of free, hard labor that helped to make America the richest and most powerful country on the planet. However, Scripture says that true Israel will not be restored, which means that reparations will not be forthcoming, even though America has a known history of paying reparations. For example, they paid the Indians in the form of land, money, and free taxes, while $20,000 was paid to each Japanese American who was placed in camps during World War II. In addition, America and its allies paid out billions in reparations to help reconstruct the economies of the defeated German and Japanese people. In other words, governments the world over have compensated all those who were oppressed by that government system, except when it related to black people. Isaiah 1:3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Deuteronomy 28:46. And they, curses shall be upon thee, Israel, for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed, descendants, forever.
Cursed forever, that's certainly true, but we are out of time for this Save Your Generation, Wednesday, April 4th on the pagan calendar. You know, one day I'm just going to totally abandon the whole dating system. You know, that is one thing that I noticed during this that I'm going to bring up. He said that the Sabbath was on Saturday, but truly, as you learned from my guest a few weeks ago and from the scriptures, the only way to tell the date is by the moon, and if you're not following the moon and you're just going by these pagan days, then you're not truly following. But other than that, I couldn't find anything. I want to know if you guys found anything that was incorrect. And I know he used Christ and sometimes the Lord, but he did at the very beginning say that Yahshua, and he said that the name is Yahweh. So, I mean, I think it's a great presentation. We're going to have him on the show next week. Interview, please submit some questions over on the revereradio.net message board that I can ask him. And anything that you found, like I found, that is the only thing so far. But find things that are wrong so I can bring it to him, because that's what we need to do. We need to confront these people. It's okay to confront them, but not a violent physical confront. What did throwing things at Karl Rove prove? What did it do? Nothing. But, alright, thanks for listening tonight. Always confront people with words, with ideas, with our thoughts. That's the only way. Lead by example. Everybody, take care. Stay tuned for Rob Revere Live coming up next. Save Your Generation. Thank you for listening. I'm repeating myself. I'm out of here.
Close the door. Put out the light. Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Save Your Generation broadcast, or if you're just sick of all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com. I'm doing it.